නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ Dear Dhamma friends, as you all can remember, we have been discussing certain suttas which are more related with the mental proliferation or conceptual proliferation. Because this is something that especially today people are suffering with, because there are many different channels of information is available for us. So we are constantly grasping them, we are constantly paying our attention to them. As a result of that, we get so much information, so much different views, different ideas. And ultimately, our mind become really confused, fairly complicated, and again, that may lead us to obsessive thinking, and ultimately, we become a poor victim of this conceptual proliferation. So, in order to avoid this, we need to approach in many different ways, and so we are trying to examine what are the different ways which Buddha has explained in different suttas in order to overcome these mental proliferations. So according to that, we try to understand the genesis of the mental proliferation, that is with respect to the Madhupindika Sutta, where we try to understand what are the different ways how the mental proliferation starts. So in the Madhupindika Sutta, Buddha explains that how even mental proliferation starts because of the sensual impingements. Say, for example, eye with the forms, ear with sounds, nose with smells, tongue with various taste, then body with tactile sensations, mind with mental objects. So once these sense impingements happens, so we don't stop at that level. So it leads to another different levels, progressive levels, and ultimately we participate into the action and we start to think, we start to ponder what we have perceived, and that leads to start the mental proliferation. So ultimately we are not the person that started, rather we become kind of a victim of the whole process. We become subjected to that process. So likewise, this is a kind of a vicious cycle that we all go through. And in order to avoid this, so Buddha recommends many different approaches. So we were examining different approaches available. And today also I have taken or selected a sutta which explains five methods in order to avoid mental proliferation. So actually, if we understand the progression of the mental proliferation, it doesn't immediately happen to mental proliferation level. Rather, it starts with the sense impingement, like eye with the say for example forms, and then the eye consciousness. When this process happens again and again, then it leads to generate the contact, that is the eye contact, and it conditions to make the feeling Vedana, and then we start to recognize that feeling, that is the perception part. So once we start to perceive, so we start to think. So that is the vitakka, thinking part. So we are applying our mind and we start to think. So that action happens from our side. So we couldn't stop at the sensory level. So we are now operating based on the data what we have received through our senses. As a result of what happens, that we start to think in many different ways. Now, therefore, this applied mind or thinking, or what we literally call as vitakka, is, we can see, one early stage of mental proliferation. So if we start to think too much, then it grows and grows, going on, and ultimately it becomes mental proliferation. So in order to avoid mental proliferation, then if someone can stop applied thinking or obsessive thinking or even the thinking, So then that is a very kind of advisable way which one can use, so that it may not lead to mental proliferation. So he is able to understand there are certain thoughts available in the mind, now they are catching up momentum, but I should not continue that, rather I need to stop that. So he understands that. So this actually requires a fair amount of mindfulness, because mindfulness helps us to understand what mind is thinking. So in the Chittanupassana section, so different thoughts are being recognized objectively. So rather than we thinking that these are my thoughts, so I am thinking, so rather we recognize them as thoughts. So this proper understanding, so understanding them as thoughts, is where we are keeping them at their proper state or proper level. So this perspective is continuously available in throughout the satipatthana. Say for example, when you are practicing anapanasati, say that breathing is one process and the observing mind is another process. So we allow the body to breathe naturally and then we observe it. So similarly, we whenever mind going through certain different types of thoughts, so rather than we become a participant in that thought generation, we can recognize those thoughts being outside. So that is the key. Now, in that respect, now Buddha explained five methods here. And again, so these methods are explained in the Vitakka Santana Sutta. This is available just next to the Vedaha Vitakka Sutta, which we have already discussed. And here Buddha explains five methods how to avoid distracting thoughts. The first method, and all these five methods he give name as various signs, different signs. Here signs actually refer to different methods or techniques available to removal of this distractive thinking. Now the first method he recognized or he explained is paying attention to some different sign. Say for example, if your mind is now going through some sort of unwholesome thinking, different types of unwholesome thoughts are available in the mind, now you are replacing those with wholesome thoughts. So this is the technique available in the Metta meditation and again in the Asubha Bhavana, the repulsive meditation. Say for example, if your mind is going through some aversion, if your mind is going through some resentment, if your mind is angry on such situation, rather than feeding it, you can turn your attention entirely to Metta meditation, so that the loving kindness thoughts will replace the angry thoughts, will replace the aversive thoughts. On the other hand, suppose if the mind is going through some lustful thoughts, so you can replace that with repulsive thoughts. So when the mind, you understand that the mind is going through some lustful thoughts, you purposely take repulsive meditation, Asubha Bhavana, and when you start to think in that line, so those repulsive thoughts gradually replace the attractive, subha kind of lustful thoughts. And similarly, suppose your mind is occupied with some miserliness, and then if you understand that the miserliness is available, then you can replace that with some sort of a what you call as giving, dana. So likewise, you have to recognize what is the opposite, which is the wholesome side, and you can try to replace the unwholesome thoughts with wholesome thoughts. Now the Buddha has given an interesting simile here. So he mentioned that if a skilled carpenter or his apprentice, when he is making some sort of a furniture, he understood there is a kind of a peg that he has to remove. And on such a situation, what he does is he is using a different peg, which is mostly smaller than the previous peg, and using that peg, now he is removing this larger peg. So likewise, Buddha mentioned, when one understands the mind is going to occupy with unwholesome thoughts, one can replace that with wholesome thoughts. So this is the first method. And then the other method he mentioned here, suppose if one understands there are unwholesome thoughts going on, and he can't, and first of all he applied this replacement technique, but it didn't work. Then he is asking to understand the danger of the unwholesome thoughts. Because unwholesome thoughts in particular, if you continuously think, your mind start to bend towards them. So there's a kind of an inclination happens in the mind. Now more and more the mind is thinking in that line. Say for example, if you maintain some sort of a calm mind, peaceful mind, but unfortunately due to some reason that you had an argument with someone. Now that has made kind of a scar in the mind, and now you are thinking about it, again and again thinking about it. Now if you understand the danger of such way of thinking, then probably you can avoid it. On the other hand, what happens if we continue to think is that mind start to think more and more in many different lines, and ultimately we can't stop that. Actually we get on to the mental proliferation level, then we are a victim. So similarly, if we understand this danger, what will happen if I am thinking like this? So it is harmful to me. I will destroy the peace of the mind. So I was able to maintain fair amount of mindfulness. I was able to maintain fair amount of concentration. And again, some clarity of mind was there. Fair amount of wisdom was there. But this way of thinking, thinking in line with ill will destroy all those peace available in the mind. So that is one aspect. It is harmful to myself. On the other hand, you can think that it is harmful to another person as well, others as well. Because if you continue to think in this kind of angry thoughts, then you may even go to a quarrel, and you may even harm another person, hit another person, blame another person. So likewise, another party is also in trouble if you continue this angry way of thinking. Now likewise, you can understand the danger. And further actually Buddha mentioned, when you are thinking this sort of unwholesome thoughts, it is making you suffer, and you feel burning internally. You are not peaceful, so it is suffering. And on the other hand, it takes you away from Nibbana. Nibbana is the stilling of the mind. Nibbana is the quieting of the mind. Nibbana is the quenching of the mind. But here, when you continue to think thoughts of ill will, so it starts to burn the mind. It is completely opposite to the Nibbana. So likewise, Buddha asks us to understand the danger of this way of thinking. So it is applied to lustful thoughts, it is applied to angry thoughts, apply to what sort of any kind of delusive thoughts, entanglement, say aversive thoughts. So many different types of thoughts. When you understand those are unwholesome thoughts, so the second method that Buddha recommend is to understand their danger. So more you understand the danger, so you are not supporting them, you are not feeding them. So actually these thoughts, they themselves don't have any strength, but we are the ones strengthening them. We are the ones feeding them. So here, by understanding the repercussions, by understanding the consequences, now we are not promoting them, we are not feeding them. As a result of that, one can avoid such unwholesome thoughts. So simile given here is also an interesting one, where Buddha mentioned a man or a woman, young, youthful, and fond of ornaments, and would be horrified, humiliated, and disgusted if the carcass of a snake or dog or human being were hung around his or her neck. Now you even can understand, I mean, even when we are talking of such activities, so we feel little disgusted. Putting a carcass of a dog, putting a carcass of a snake, So those are really whole loathsome. Now, the person who really like to be clean and smart and, you know, maintain a very beautiful body, if he encounters such kind of a situation where someone is trying to put a carcass on your body, so you will be really disgusted about it. So you quickly want to get rid of that, remove that. Similarly, Buddha mentioned, you want to maintain a mind which is free, pure, and again clean, wholesome, but due to some reason there are certain unwholesome thoughts now going to appear in the mind. So you understand that and you quickly understand their disadvantages, danger, consequences. As a result of that, those unwholesome thoughts start to fade away. So that is the second method. And then there's a third method Buddha mentioned, is called asati amanasikara. So this is the opposite of sati and manasikara. Now, sati, mindfulness, manasikara, we can say as the attention. So this is what we are trying to develop, mindfulness and attention. Say for example, when you are practicing walking meditation, so when your left foot is touching the ground, so immediately you want to pay your attention there, where the touching sensation happens at your left foot. So you are purposely drawing your attention there. And on the other hand, you are mindful. So you are not thinking about the past or future, or you are not thinking about anything else. Rather, you are entirely in the present moment. So mindfulness is there, attention is also there. But here, Buddha recommends asati amanasikara, unmindfulness and not paying attention to the unwholesome thoughts. So that is a technique Buddha recommends. Say there are certain thoughts arising in the mind, maybe even appearing in the mind, those are, you notice them as unwholesome. At that time, what Buddha asks us to do is to completely take your mind away from them, not to pay attention to them, not to pay any sort of mindfulness towards them, rather you pay attention to something else. So the simile given is quite interesting. So Buddha mentioned someone who is with good eyesight, he encounters something that he doesn't want to look at. So what he does, he is simply closing his eyes or shutting his eyes or simply look away so that he doesn't want to look at it, doesn't want to see it. So either he closes his eyes or either he looks away. Likewise, Buddha mentioned when you understand that the mind is going to occupy with some unwholesome thoughts, there are certain unwholesome thoughts now going to appear in the mind, you pay attention to something else. So to the unwholesome thought appearing in the mind, instead of paying attention to them, now you are paying attention to something else. Be mindful to something else. So this is another technique Buddha mentioned. Now actually here I like to make a point. Now, there's another approach mentioned in the Satipatthana, in the Dhammanupassana level, and even in the Chittanupassana level. When unwholesome thought appear, you are able to recognize it. You are able to be mindful about it. And again, in the Dhammanupassana, say Nivarana Pabba, when Buddha explains about the hindrances, so there we are directly encountering them. We are directly dealing with them. When kama chanda, sensual desire arise, so we face to face be aware of it. When thoughts of ill will arise, one is able to look at it, pay attention to it, be mindful about it. When restlessness available in the mind, so you are aware of it, you pay attention to it. And when there are sort of regret going on in the mind, so one can be aware of it, one can fully attentive to it. And if there are any doubts available in the mind, one can be fully aware of it and pay attention to it, be mindful about it. So that direct approach is also mentioned in the Satipatthana Sutta. So then why Buddha mentioned the opposite here? that you should not pay attention, you should not be mindful about those unwholesome thoughts. Here actually the point is that you are still not confident about your mindfulness. Your mindfulness is fairly weak. So there's a warning Buddha mentioned in the Anapanasati Sutta, and there he mentioned if you want to directly encounter different types of thoughts, you need to first of all have mindfulness and clear comprehension well established. Without it, if you try to do Chittanupassana or Dhammanupassana, probably you might end up with mental proliferation because your mindfulness is so weak. In order to develop mindfulness to a higher level, in order to develop clear comprehension to a higher level, so you need some time. So therefore, don't think that immediately you may have all the skills what you need. So in order to have fair amount of mindfulness and clear comprehension, it requires fair amount of practice. Some practical engagement with the development of mindfulness is a requirement. And as you continue your practice, then slowly you may understand, okay, there is a significant amount of mindfulness now available. I can be mindful throughout the walking path. I can be mindful while doing the mindfulness on breathing, say Anapanasati. So I'm fairly successful in it. Or if you are practicing rising and falling, so I can maintain attention, I can maintain mindfulness, say for a fair amount of time, say 30 minutes. So likewise, so you understand what is the level of mindfulness available with you. So you may feel it. At the beginning, comparatively, you had less mindfulness and almost all the day you are unmindful. But now, as a result of continuous practice, you understand, okay, now I can be mindful on various activities even. While brushing teeth, I can be mindful. While eating, I can be mindful. While sweeping, I can be mindful. While walking, I can be mindful. While sitting, I can be mindful. So likewise, you recognize this mindfulness is now growing and you are also giving some emphasis to it. You are also giving some importance to it. So as a result of that, your say effort, now fair amount of mindfulness being developed. And now you are developing clear comprehension. You are trying to understand more detail and you are trying to investigate what is really going on when you are mindful. So likewise, you are adding clear comprehension also to the picture. Now, as a result of that, after some time, you understand, okay, I can even feel different thoughts available in the mind. And when I am paying attention to those thoughts, they start to fade away. They start to become weaker and weaker. So this is the level indication that mindfulness has fairly grown. Now you can go face to face. Now you can directly look at the mind. Now you can directly look at various hindrances. So till that, so the technique that Buddha mentioned here in this Vitakka Santhana Sutta, all the techniques that Buddha mentioned here are quite valid. Because still the mindfulness approach is not developed enough. So till that, we have to have alternative approaches, different techniques. So therefore, these techniques are available for such yogi. Now, the third method, therefore, Buddha explained is without paying attention to those unwholesome thoughts, try to look at something else. Try to pay attention to something else. Now, the fourth method, what Buddha explained is to, is going one after the other. Say, for example, starting with the first method. That is trying to replace with something else. Say you are getting some angry thoughts. Now you try to replace it with loving kindness. And if you're successful, then fine. Then you don't need to go to the other methods. But when you try to apply loving kindness, suppose it didn't work. Now we are going to the next method. That is the understanding of the consequences of the angry thoughts. It is harmful to me, harmful to another person. It is go away from Nibbana. So likewise, you understand the danger. Suppose even that method doesn't work. Still, angry thoughts are continuing. Then you can apply paying attention to something else. Or, sorry, examining the danger, and then what we have just discussed, trying to forget those thoughts and trying to completely pay your attention to a different thing. Paying away, taking away your attention. Asati amanasikara. Even if that does not work, now Buddha come to the fourth method. So that is to understand the thought formation. Now this is also more, I can say, towards vipassana approach, where you are trying to see the beginning instead of just staying on the surface with ayonuso manasikara, unwise attention. Now you are trying to apply wise attention. Now you are trying to apply the investigation. How these angry thoughts have grown to this level? What was the previous stage of them? Say, for example, now you are burning and many different thoughts are appearing, and all of a sudden you got some mindfulness, and quickly you apply brakes and try to look at the thought formation. Try to look at how actually previous stage has happened. In order to come to this level, what you are currently experience, what was the previous stage? Now you are applying the yoniso manasikara. Look back, or go into the source, go into the root. And probably you maybe understand, okay, I have added some more, say, my own judgments. Maybe my own preconceived ideas I have added. So likewise, you understood, okay, that has caused further aggravation of these thoughts. Now fine, you understood that. Now you don't stop there. Again, you look at, so how I reached there? What was the previous stage? Then probably you understand another reason. Okay, from here, I came to this level. So I was thinking in a different way, but here now I have added another angle, another perspective. As a result of that, it further grown. Now you are able to understand, so that addition or that construction which you did. So as a result of that, now you further cut off that line actually. It's like, assume that there is a pond which is getting many different ways of streams, different water lines, and now it is spilling out. Now we are looking at different ways and means how this water is coming towards this pond, and one by one you are stopping or you are shutting down the valves so that slowly spilling out stops because of the waste of water. So likewise, you are slowly understand the sources, you understand how these thoughts formation happen, and slowly you are stopping those. You stop those feeding part. As a result of that, that mind slowly calms down, because that so many thoughts or obsessive thinking become less and less, mind start to calm down. And if you are continuing like this, probably you can even come to the very root of thought formation. So it might be a very slight sign which appeared in your eye, for example. Say you were going on some sort of a vehicle and you look at something, or maybe look at someone. So she is a beautiful person. Suppose, for example, so there's a sign in your mind. Now you are adding to that sign. You personify that sign. So, and you understood that sign as a person, she. Now you are adding your own perception. She is beautiful. Now you are adding more. She's say pretty, and she's smart. She looks pretty good. So likewise, many different ways. Now we are adding many different other lines of thinking. And ultimately, suppose you become really burning with lust. Now, rather than continue to burn, now you are coming back. How you did this formation? How you did this construction? And this actually requires a fair amount of honest attention and introspection and coming back, tracing the early stages. And ultimately, if you are able to come to the very root, probably you might understand, okay, it's a kind of a sign. So you, while traveling, I simply looked at, then there's a sign of a woman, sign of a girl. So this is a sign. So likewise, Buddha actually mentioned, so all these different obsessive thinking, mental proliferation, has very minimal sign, nimitta, as its root. Sanya nidanahi papancha sankha. In Kalaha Vivada Sutta, Buddha mentioned, so the sanya, the perceptions, various signs, are the root for these mental thought formations or the mental proliferations. So if we are able to understand those earlier stages again and again, so now we are calming down the mind. We are slowly cutting off all different feeding streams to the mind. Ultimately, mind can stop thinking on that line. So Buddha gives an interesting simile here also. He says, assume that someone is walking very fast or even running. Now, at one moment, he understands, why am I running? Why am I walking so fast? Can't I walk slowly? So he made the decision. Now he understands, okay, no point of running, no point of walking so fast. Let me walk slowly. So he get the decision and now he is walking slowly. While walking slowly, now again he reflect, why am I walking? Can't I stop? Now he stopped and he is standing up. And while standing up, he is thinking, why can't I sit? It is more comfortable. Now he is sitting. And while sitting, he is thinking, why can't I lie down? It is more comfortable. Now he is lying down. So similarly, from more active and more, gross posture, you are coming to a more subtle posture, more still posture, more calm posture. You were in a more gross and active posture, restless kind of a posture, but now slowly, you are removing that gross level and you are coming to a more subtler posture. So likewise, Buddha mentioned, so you understood, unfortunately, when you were understanding your mind, it has grown to some extent. But you have a real need to calm down. So at that time, you can understand how this whole, obsession has happened. If you are carefully going back, and as a result of that, slowly you are cutting off the feeding part, strengthening part, and so the thought process did become less and less, or weaker and weaker, and ultimately it can even stop. So that is the fourth method Buddha explained in this sutta. And the fifth method, or the last method, is only available if you failed all these methods. So it's a kind of a method. I mean, these methods are arranged in a way that only ultimately, if you fail all these previous methods, only that you have to apply the fifth method. So that is the application of force. Effortfully, you are trying to control the mind. Now here, very much like, suppose that, police is surrendering a thief. So police has their weapons, their strength, and they are quite powerful, and they are applying their effort and controlling a thief, controlling a person who is trying to jump or who is trying to attack, but the other party is more strong, and so they are surrendering the other person. So likewise, Buddha mentioned, so at the moment that you understand there are certain thinking going on, those are unwholesome thoughts, and you start to apply all these previous techniques, starting with the very first method, replacement. It didn't work. Then you come to understand the danger. It didn't work. Then you try to pay no attention to it. Asati amanasikar. Even that didn't work. And then you try to put the, say, understand the formation, how the starting has happened. Even it didn't work. In such situation, Buddha say, okay, now you have to apply force. Now you have to say very much like condemn the mind. Condemn yourself, what you are doing. And you have to advise yourself. So it is not good for you. It is harmful to you. And it is not suitable to you. And it is very much like you are condemning what mind is doing. Not accepting. Not welcoming. And how you are doing it. So that also Buddha mentioned. And you are clenching your teeth. And tongue pressed against the roof of the mouth. And maybe applying enough effort. And then try to beat down the mind. And trying to crush the mind in a way. So this is the application of force. And because you understand, I mean, if I'm continuing this, it will be really harmful. But so immediately you are applying, after applying previous methods, it didn't work. Now we are applying the force. So this is the fifth method that Buddha mentioned in this sutta. So after explaining all different types of techniques, so there's a very profound statement mentioned at the end of the sutta. Now, Buddha mentioned, if one is able to control one's mind, how it is thinking, like this, by using many different techniques, he becomes a master of the mind, or master of the thinking. Now, who is the master of thinking? So he will think whatever thoughts he wishes to think. When he wants to think something, and if he knows it is beneficial, he is thinking. He doesn't need to stop completely. If he understood, okay, this is something useful to think, and now he is free to think. Suppose that you are working on a company which engages with some sort of a research, some sort of a designing, and it requires a fair amount of forecasting, kind of thinking, imagining, many different things. And if you think that, if you understood, okay, I have to think according to the, say, different statistics available, or I have to forecast, etc., etc., now you can think, because it has a purpose. And on the other hand, and he will not think any thought that he does not want to think. Suppose now he completed the task, now he doesn't want to think anymore, now he can completely stop. Because he understood, okay, now no need to think, he can stop. And if there are thoughts going to come up which are not useful and there is no use, then he can stop. So likewise, the thinking happens completely under his control. So such a person is called a master of thinking. So, and Buddha mentioned, even though these methods appear like primitive, but still, if one is practically apply this way of thinking, so slowly his mind calms down, slowly he becomes a master of thinking. And when he understands if there are any kind of craving, lustful thoughts going on, he can stop it. If there are any other unwholesome thoughts going on, he can stop it. He can only think wholesome thoughts, and even that can be reduced, and even can come to a complete standstill, complete stillness, complete quietude. So likewise, if one is practically applying these methods, so slowly his mind becomes completely free from mental proliferation, completely calm, completely still. So likewise, Buddha mentioned he severed craving, he can cut off craving. And all the fetters he has removed, flung off fetters. All the fetters he was able to remove. And with the complete penetration of conceit, he has made an end of suffering. Samma mana abhisamaya antamakasi dukkassa. Dukkassati. So, different ways of measurement is always going on. I am comparing myself with another person, maybe comparing with a friend, or maybe comparing with another competitive person. So likewise, continuous comparison is going on in our mind. So one may even understand, so this disadvantages of such kind of a comparison, that is the conceit, mana. So likewise, many subtle aspects happening in the mind, or subtle operations happening in the mind, become more and more clearer to him, and he understands those patterns and their disadvantages, and he is able to slowly address them. So ultimately, Buddha mentioned, so he was able to completely uproot craving, remove all the fetters, and completely cut off conceit by penetrating to those. And he makes the end of suffering. So basically, on the other hand, he become an arahant. So therefore, this calming down mental proliferations, avoiding discursive thinking, distractive thinking, plays a real, important role in our practice. So therefore, we need to take care of our mind. And it is true that we start with Kaya Anupassana, paying attention to various bodily activities or various bodily postures, etc. But slowly we may encounter the domain of the mind, and there are many interesting things are going on, and slowly we have to understand those and apply our wisdom and these different techniques as Buddha mentioned, and slowly calm down mental proliferation and calm down discursive thinking, and it leads to uprooting of various different defilements. So with that note, I like to wind up today's sutta teaching session. Now I like to open the session for questions.
Thank you, Sanjay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So if we have any new friends joining us for the first time, you may ask questions by raising your hand, or you can also send them to me anonymously via the chat feature.
Okay, good. There are no. One is there. Okay.
Not so easy, Bante. I'd like to invite Chita Devi to please ask the question.
Thank you very much, Chita. Bante, we have done now all these, quite a bit of these thoughts and unwholesome thoughts and wholesome thoughts, and you have discussed how to manage the mental proliferation. So, I think that for me, I don't know, just looking at these thoughts directly and confronting them, for me, I find that is effective. So,
yes. Definitely. So actually, that's why I mentioned, so when you are practicing more and more, when you are developing mindfulness, then you will reach that stage. So you are confident and thoughts also start to fade away. They become weaker and weaker. Then you don't need to try these different techniques because you are confident now. Okay, the mindfulness is strong when I am looking at them, or when I am even pay attention to them, they simply run away. They simply fade away. So then actually we don't need all these different techniques. But for a newcomer, so he is not equipped with such kind of a strength. When he is looking at those thoughts, so they become more and more even stronger because of lack of mindfulness, so weaker mindfulness. So that is why we need different approaches, different techniques known to us.
And even on the other hand, there may be situations. Now, even for a practitioner who is somewhat, say, advanced in his vipassana, there may be certain thoughts still penetrating to his mind. Most of the time, there are thoughts coming to the, say, only operating at the background. They may not penetrate too much into the mind. But there may be still situations that sometimes the mind become lustful, sometimes mind become angry. That can happen occasionally. On such situation, suppose if you are mindful and you are able to understand those at the early stages, even the application of mindfulness, little bit more mindfulness, more attention can remove it. But still there may be situations such doesn't work. So on such situation, maybe these different techniques also may be useful. Say, practicing of asubha bhavana, practicing of metta. So likewise, I mean, so no harm of knowing this and how, where to apply them is actually we have to decide depending on the situation.
Yes, sir. Yes, Bhante.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I always remind myself is that if most of these thoughts really come, like anger and all, because we have formed a mama. So
exactly.
I quickly tell myself, now you're forming a mama.
Mm.
And then I try to diffuse it like that also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
have to. Yeah.
Is that okay, Bhante?
Sure. Because now, say for example, as you are progressing in Chittanupassana, and you start to more and more understand how mind operates, and there are one understanding or one insight is to understand that how you are making a self, how you are promoting a self, and assume that you did something good, as I frequently mention, suppose that you did something good and it has happened, it is over now, it has happened several days ago, but today while at home, while you are resting, there may be thoughts coming up in the mind, sort of approving that, promoting that, praising yourself. So likewise, such thoughts can appear. So
they do.
Exactly. So that is why. So on such situation, we have to look at, I mean, what is the purpose of thinking like this? And when I am promoting myself as a person, am I reducing the Sakkayaditti, am I reducing the personification or am I strengthening the personality view? So likewise, we have to understand logically. So, I mean, is there any purpose, is there any use of this kind of thinking? So if we understand that this is how mind is trying to cunningly make a self, trying to prepare a self, construct a self, I-making and mind-making. So those are the terms that Buddha used. Ahankara, mamankara.
Yes.
Ahankara means that you are making I. Mamankara means that you are making mine. So those are things that we are making actually. It is
there. Exactly.
So in order to come to this level, you need to observe your mind for fair amount of time. And you have to reach fair depth. How this subtle eye formation is happening, self formation is happening, constructions are happening in a very, say, subtle level. So once you understand that, you don't need to promote it. You can simply discard it. You can simply disclaim it, so that again mind become calm.
Yes, Bhante, because I find that now I don't even want to go too much deep into that, because I immediately tell myself, this is now Mamatvaya, you are making a self.
Hmm.
So that in itself, I'm able to calm that thought a little bit.
Right.
And then maybe go in a bit deeper if necessary, depending as you see how, what sort of thought that has penetrated. But that I find a very good method, Bhante,
yes,
for myself.
Sure, definitely. So that's why, I mean, Buddha mentioned that netam mama neso hamasmi na meso attati. So that,
yes,
at certain times. So actually, many different techniques are mentioned. So there is a method, as you said. So there you are doing some sort of disclaiming. This is not me,
yes,
this is not myself, and this is not I am. So it's a kind of a disclaiming, disavowing,
yes,
of the things happening. Yeah, correct.
Yes. Thank you, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Bhante.
Yeah.
Okay, Bante, the next question that I received says, Thiruvan Sanai Swami Mahamsad with three vows, random question, is it possible for a Svatapana to break one of the Panchasila with much gratitude and metta?
Actually, to answer you, intentionally, some sort of a gross breaking may not happen. So, but there may be unknowingly such thing can happen. But interesting point is, he or she may not hide it. So according to Dhamma, we can understand in certain suttas Buddha mentioned that there may be certain breakages can happen. Certain, breaking of precept happen due to some unmindfulness. But he may not hide it. So if you refer Ratana Sutta, Buddha mentioned that if he understood that I made a mistake, I was not mindful, and then he quickly go to another person, to his teacher or to a companion, he go and reveal it. And he try to amend it. He try to correct himself. So now the opposite is available with the putujjana. So a typical worldly person, where he purposely make wrong things, do wrong things, and he want to hide those things. But the opposite is available with the noble person. Due to some reason, if he make a mistake, then he doesn't want to hide it. And he reveals it. And he want to amend it. So that is the difference. So, and on the other hand, it is mentioned in the suttas, now, in the five precepts, those are the gross kind of, wrong activities. Now, if one is purposely breaking five precepts, and if those are really heavy, and it can lead him to a lower realm, to an apaya. Now, the difference between the Sotapanna, according to the Dhamma, is that he may not commit such a very gross or heavy wrong activity. There may be slight activities, but those are not capable of bringing him to the hell realms. Those are very weak karma. And on the other hand, whatever the wrong thing that he did, all most of the repercussions he may ended up in this life itself. Now there's a very beautiful sutta called Lona Phala Sutta, where Buddha mentioned that, say for example, there is a small amount of salt available and you are putting it to a small amount of water. Since the amount of water is so small, so the whole amount of water becomes salty. But on the other hand, the same amount of salt, if you are putting to a river, so that amount of salt is not enough to make the water salty, because the water available on the river is so huge. So similarly, Buddha mentioned, if one's merit power or the amount of merit is so huge, even he commits something wrong, it is not capable of completely polluting him, completely dragging him to the hell realm. But on the other hand, if someone's merit power is so less, the same activity, same wrongdoing is capable of bringing him or dragging him to the hell realm. So therefore, we need to understand certain other aspects also when we are answering this question, that if you are doing many meritorious deeds, if you are strengthening yourself in many different ways, and then you have a lot of merit power, you have many wholesome accumulation in yourself. So as a result of that, whatever the misdeed, due to some reason, if you commit, and it may not produce such kind of a rebirth in the hell realm. But on the other hand, it may produce some kind of a result in this very life. So you may encounter kind of, suppose that you kill an animal. But you are, in general, you are always helping animals or say protecting their lives, and you are doing so much of good work. So merit power is very high, but due to something, due to some reason, this has happened. So it may not bring you to the hell realm, rather it may produce some bad result in this very life, say like you breaking your leg or whatever it is. So you may encounter such situation and you ended up the result in this very life. So likewise, different things that we have to think when we are addressing this kind of an issue. Yeah. And on the other hand, I like to highlight that a noble person may not purposely kill animals, so purposely steal or purposely do sexual misconduct like that. So he understands the danger. So therefore, maybe by mistake, not being mindful that he might commit it, but not purposely, strongly, like other people doing, so he may not do it. Yeah.
So I'd like to invite Kumudini to please ask the next question. Hello, sir. Hi, Bhante.
Yeah.
My question is a follow-up of what Chitra Devi was talking about, and not, creating, proliferating the mamatma thing by thinking about the good you have done.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, there is also some places that I have read where you have to reflect on the good deeds you have done to make you feel happy.
Yes, as
so
we discussed today.
What is the distinction?
Even today we discussed something like that. Now, say for example,
yes.
That is the point that we have to understand on which level that we are working right now. Say for example, you just started putting yourself into the correct path, and you haven't yet start any kind of say meditation or mindfulness practice. So I mean, there are still certain things to work out. So such situation, say you need fair amount of positive atmosphere in your mind. Suppose you did something wrong and there were many restlessness, regrets going on in the mind, and on such situation, why can't you replace them with something good that you did? It is useful. Definitely it is useful.
Right.
So, because still on such situation, you have to, I mean, rather than indulging in, say, negative thinking, you need to replace that with positive thinking. Maybe you have done something good to the same person. Maybe you have done something good to another person. So instead of thinking that what you did wrong to the person, now you are thinking something good that you did. So, in one sense, one can say, okay, you are promoting yourself, but there is a purpose. So, the purpose, the purpose is that you are, rather than, encouraging negative thinking, now you are encouraging positive thinking. But later, suppose now you are fully all right, fully mind is clear, and now you don't need. So, it's a kind of a gradual process. So Buddha always mentioned certain skillful means, skillful methods. So we have to apply them accordingly. I mean, apply them depending on the circumstance.
Also, Bhante, I want to add to that other one about Sotapanna person breaking the five precepts.
Yeah.
Where I find the most difficult is the, supposing when you're cleaning the house and you're removing cobwebs, you're destroying some creature there. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, so this is actually even answered by the Buddha. And again, I need to be very accurate here. So I am not telling that Sotapanna is breaking precepts. So rather he want always to maintain precepts. And by mistake, thing can happen, breaking can happen. So please make that sure. And on the other hand, even for the monks, so when Buddha is explaining various duties in Vattakkhandaka and all different other Vinaya texts, so Buddha mentioned how even to clean cobwebs. So he asked, Buddha explained, so don't try to harm them purposely, don't try to kill them. So when you are cleaning cobwebs, so try to collect them so that you can remove them, so that you can bring them to another place. Now, you can simply crush them carelessly, clean them, and you know, you can do that. But on the other hand, you can carefully do it. You are cleaning the cobwebs as well, but you are a little careful about not to kill them. And if possible,
I see.
If possible, you are removing them and put them away. You are putting them away from your house. So likewise, so you have to be, I mean, you are giving some consideration to their life, but it doesn't mean that you keep your house uncleaned. You have to do the cleaning. You have to remove cobwebs. It is accepted. But how you are doing it? So that is actually explained in the Vinaya text. So it is mentioned, I mean, I think Buddha asked to start from the bottom and go to the up, so that they are slowly able to either climb up or to come to the broom or whatever it is. And so likewise, giving some provision for them to escape or to protect their lives. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Bhante.
Yes.
And then for the next question, I'll invite Pri.
Hey, Sanmai Bhante, this is Priyadarshini.
Yes.
Bhante, I would like to thank you and do much merit for teaching us this beautiful sutta on mental proliferation. So quite useful. I want to know if fear is a shade of ill will.
Yes. It is mentioned like that. So fear is a shade of ill will, and again, even the jealousy is a shade of ill will. So I mean, you know, I mean, all the defilements ultimately we can drill down or abstract to three roots: raga, dosa, moha, lust, hatred, and delusion. Now, ill will, what you call jealousy, and what you ask, the other one?
Fear
is also coming under the root of dosa. But anyway, raga and dosa always has moha also included. Now, what I want to mention is, fear happens because of moha and dosa. Delusion as well as hatred.
Yeah, I find that, you know, jealousy and ill will, anger, and those things are between me and outside world.
Mm-hmm.
So, while ago, I mean, before I came to practice, I had those problems, you know, workplace problems, people try to stop me, this and that.
Mm.
But now it's very different. Same people go out of way to help me, you know. I have no problem from outside world and everything is peaceful and calm. But now I'm battling myself.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest hindrance is fear.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's from my childhood, the way my mind works from childhood. It's like fear for getting sick and something like that. I'm getting bitter at it, but sometimes, without my knowledge, I get trapped in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the easiest way for me is to face it.
Correct. Yeah.
When I face it, I can stop right away. But if I don't catch it, even if I don't catch it, I recognize what it does to my body. Very immediate reaction, I recognize it, and then I can stop it. But sometimes, when I'm not mindful, it go out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's probably I need more practice. That's what all about it, I believe.
Yeah, actually, I mean, it's good that what we are trying to do is a good thing. And again, we need to understand we have to slowly address these things. And even a Sotapanna Sakadagami level, still one may has fear. Only fear may be completely away from our minds only when one becomes an anagami, non-returner. So because, you know, the only at the non-returner level, completely lust and hatred is completely uprooted. So till that, we have at least shades of these different defilements. So therefore, it's a slow process. And we may not fearful or afraid of many things as before, but still there may be situations we become fearful, afraid of certain things. And so we have to admit, I mean, we have to be have some sort of self-compassion. Okay, I'm not a perfect person, I'm not an arahant. Still there are certain shortcomings in myself. So likewise, you are forgiving yourself and sort of trying to correct yourself. So it's like looking after a child, isn't it?
Yes. Thank you very much, Bhante. Yeah. Much merit.
Yeah, okay.
I believe, Bhante, that's all of the questions for today.
Right, fine.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay, then actually we can wind up today's sessions. So we discussed some sutta, and again we had a nice discussion. With that we were able to accumulate some merits. Let's share these merits with all the relatives and all the, say, celestial beings and whoever in need of merits. Let's recite the traditional verses. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bhummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu desanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu mam param. Idam vo nyati nam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyati nam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyati nam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.